Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
All of the witnesses who will be called have already testified secretly. They're all opinion witnesses offering their interpretations of a conversation they weren't privy to. They're all diplomats, and diplomats are notorious gossipers.
There you have it, Greg Jarrett kind of laying out what's gone down with the impeachment story this week. Every day, New York Times or the Washington Post drops a new headline about this behind-the-door testimony from this ambassador or this foreign official of some sort, all designed to influence public opinion. But at the end of the day, Mr. Jarrett has nailed this one right on the head when he points out the fact that there's no crime here. There's lots of people with opinions, but there's no evidence of any wrongdoing here on the part of this president. This is has become a witch hunt, and it's going to get worse next week because they're going to start televising it. Wow. And you know people will be tuning in. I'm anxious to at least see the Republicans get a chance to ask some questions. That'll be a new and refreshing idea, won't it? Yeah. Hey, happy Friday. Glad you're back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Be sure and check us out on Facebook, the Mark Cox Show there on Facebook. And you can also, if you haven't downloaded radio.com, you should do it.
Yes.
It's really simple to do, and you can sign up for text alerts on there. When there's breaking news, we're going to send the alerts right to your phone, and you can listen to us no matter where you go.
Yes.
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 I did this way to Chicago the other when I drove to Chicago for my trip to Ireland. We flew out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Perfect for
listened road trips. Listen to radio.com, and I never lost the signal, clearly, all the way to Chicago.
No, it's a great app.
Fantastic. Be sure and do that. You can go on there and download the podcast, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Podcasts are there.
We make it easy for
streaming
you.
Streaming is there. The rewind function is.
I almost forgot. That's groundbreaking.
It is.
That is groundbreaking.
It's not getting enough credit. It's It is insane it that is. You can pause live radio and go back.
You listen. You hear something brilliant tumble out of the mouth of Mark Cox or Annie Fry.
As it.
And you can hit the rewind button and listen to it again. It's fantastic.
And you should and over and over.
You should. Let's get to our friend Annie Fry, please.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Back up, you creep.
So beat the drum with me.
Get away from me.
I'm not a Mary the sweetheart.
Annie Fry of the Annie Fry Show every weekday, noon to three, right here on the radio station. Annie, good morning.
Good morning.
I said my wife wishes she had a pause button for me, but that doesn't exist in real life.
Yeah, we can't be so lucky all the time. Yeah, I'm sure that's just what my husband wants to do when we're arguing is make sure he rewinds to make sure he catches every nuance of what I'm trying to say to him.
Well, that's because we don't always remember what comes out of our mouths. So, you know what I'm saying. Hey, I have a question. I know I never watched The View, but I watched the fallout from The View yesterday because Don Trump Jr. was on there. Did you get a chance to see that? You probably talked about it on your show.
The View is like a cold. It's like, it's there. You get in the cold season and you kind of try to avoid it. You try to wash your hands. You try to stay away from it. And then every once in a while, it just creeps into your life. And then it lingers around for a while and you got to try to remember to do all the things you can to get it back out of your life again. So it did creep into my life a little bit yesterday. And that was only because I was on Twitter just trying to keep up with what was going. And I look over to the side and it says that The View is trending. I'm like, what the heck? The View is there every day. Why is this trending? And then I clicked on it. And on Twitter, when I was looking at the feed of tweets that showed up when I clicked on the hashtag The View, oh my gosh, the hatred in this country for Don Jr. Now, granted, he just wrote a book called Triggered, and I've seen people using triggered hashtags the last week or so. Great marketing on their part.
Yes.
And it's about triggering liberals. And I mean, just by virtue of being on that show, like his physical presence, which expands to anybody in his family, that this family that, you know, the patriarch is now, whether you like it or not, president of the United States, is too much for a lot of people in this country. And there's a lot of fun that you can poke at that, and there's a lot of jokes that you can say about it, but it truly, honestly, at the end of the day, is a tragedy for our country that there are a lot of people who can't even stomach to say his name, including Whoopi Goldberg. She couldn't even say Donald Trump's name. It's like she had guests on her, like, was it a hostage situation? Why was it that they had to have Don Jr. on the show? It doesn't make any sense to me. And regardless of what people feel about Meghan McCain, I've never felt like she on that show really articulates my conservatism and where I come from. So when I tune in and see what they have to say, there's nobody with my view. And when it's supposed to be the view, I don't care if you've got five women at a table who want to discuss issues and, you know, they don't all agree with what I say. I actually enjoy that concept. You can see that Outnumbered every day on Fox, because they basically created that show to be like The View, but actually to have conservative, real conservatism as a portion of the discussion that's on that show. But I mean, it's a dumpster fire. And
no, it is.
It is like every time you tune in, and yesterday was just a little extra white hot in the dumpster fire category.
And at least on Outnumbered, they have a true liberal on there. They put Marie Harf and other people on there who worked for the Obama administration. So you've got people who at least legitimately espouse that point of view. The View's never really had that. Then now with Abby Huntsman and Meghan McCain on there, I don't know why anybody would watch it. They're like tokens. I did want to play a little clip from the show yesterday, because Don Trump Jr. did his homework before he went on there. I think he knew what he was in for. He knew it was going to get huge ratings. Go to cut 15 for us, please.
We've all done things that we regret. I mean, if we're talking about bringing the discourse down, Joy, you've worn blackface. Whoopi,
no,
you
I said have. That I'm Roman sorry, Polanski. I'm sorry, and don't.
You said
do
that
it.
Roman Polanski. It wasn't rape when he raped a child. So let's talk about this.
So you want to bring this up? The question came up.
I did not go in blackface.
No, she was not in blackface.
Thank you.
Listen, being black, I recognize blackface. This I can say. Okay.
I think they were triggered.
Is it ridiculous to think that Whoopi Goldberg has a leg up on recognizing blackface more than white people because she's black?
Yeah.
I mean, I said this yesterday about on Twitter, because we didn't really talk about it much on my show, because at the time people were still in like meltdown mode on both sides of the aisle. But when it comes to Joy Behar and her blackface or non-blackface, here's what she said that she did. And they showed a picture of her on The View. And Raven Simone from The Cosby Show was on there and given her the biggest side eye you can give somebody when that picture popped up. She said that she dressed as a, quote, beautiful black or African woman, I should say. Well, there's two contexts in which blackface is, or two reasons that blackface is inappropriate. The first is because of the historical connotations of what it was used for in our country. The second is that, especially since this conversation has been brought to the light, is people who are African American, or African for that matter, are saying, can you not dress up as like my nationality as a costume? And Joy Behar would light anybody on fire who would come on her show and have done exactly what it is that she did. And she gets to be proud of it. Why? Because she just gets to, because she's a liberal. And in the world we live in right now, if you're on the left side of the aisle, you get to do things and you get to get away with things that you get crucified for being on the right. So the question doesn't need to be, is it okay to wear blackface? I think we all actually kind of agree, you know, whatever the degree of blackface you're wearing, that this is like it's not really the greatest idea. Maybe don't do it at all. But the hypocrisy that exists drives people crazy. And then they just tune it out because they get sick of it. Like, the American people are not as stupid as the people in The View hope that we are.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And the fact that she wants to deny that that's what it was, and Whoopi Goldberg wants to deny what she said about rape, they don't want to focus on any of that. So anyway, that people need to go watch that. They need to watch those clips because they're really funny. The other big news that's happened, I guess, really late yesterday at some point, is this whole story about Michael Bloomberg. I want to play for you a soundbite from Michael Bloomberg and get your reaction to it. Whoops. What have I done here? Well, hold on. I had my audio down. My apologies. Here we go. Bad radio.
I hope it doesn't have to wait, a year and a quarter until the next presidential election. We can't wait. And I keep saying, whether you like the president or not, everybody has to pull together and help the president, because as the president goes, so goes the country. As the country goes, so goes your job, your ability to feed your family.
Boy, Michael Bloomberg sounds awfully reasonable there, doesn't he? Except that he was talking about Barack Obama. He wasn't talking about Donald Trump. He had, no matter how you feel about this president, we need to pull together and move forward. If that's Michael Bloomberg's campaign this time, maybe he makes some ground in this race. What do you think?
I honestly, when I saw that headline that he was going to run for president, I can't keep track. I was like, I guess he hasn't been on the stage yet. I know he's talked about it quite a bit. That, relatively speaking, there's a lot of room for a lot of people to get in here and sound a bit more rational than the folks that are out there. And if you're going to see somebody like him actually get in the race, I think that's a good indication that Joe Biden is not a livable entity through the rest of this primary. People don't think that he's going to be able to sufficiently hold down the more moderate, relatable a slot in, right, in this Democratic primary. So is that Michael Bloomberg? I'm not sure. I don't know. But I do look at the remaking of the Democratic Party, which started with Bernie Sanders in 2016. And when you think about how the DNC worked to ensure that Bernie didn't get any further than he did and that Hillary Clinton would get the nomination, it really is something to see how in the process of doing that, they got what they wanted. Hillary was the nominee. And bringing everything to light about how much they screwed over Bernie Sanders. Boy. And many of the people who were Democrat voters, they really fortified Bernie Sanders' movement. And they've really reshaped the entire Democratic Party in spite of themselves, because they pushed him aside and in turn pushed all of his voters aside. I don't think he would have necessarily gotten the nomination anyway. But when Hillary does, and she was such a failure, now you've got a handful of socialist Democrats in the Democratic primary legitimately running for president and leading the pack. That's a crazy, crazy thing. So if Michael Bloomberg goes in there, I think if he has a rational approach to it, I think it's only going to make people question the reality of what socialism is even more. And in this economy, if it keeps up, and with Donald Trump being able to show tens of thousands of people wherever he goes across the country, I could totally see how, if you're on the Democratic side of the aisle right now, you're getting pretty nervous.
He's 77 years old. I think it speaks to the desperation on the Democratic side that they're going to end up. Joe Biden is faltering. Chris Steyerwall said yesterday, Elizabeth Warren is in deep, deep trouble. Go to cut 21.
Elizabeth Warren has had a stinkeroo 2 weeks. It's been horrible for her.
Has the surge stopped for her?
Not only has it stopped, it's reversed. Her numbers are down. A month ago, she was right at Biden's heels. She was in our average. She was just about 2 points behind him. Mm-hmm. Now it's more like 6 points. She's in big trouble.
Yeah, that's what Steyerwald thinks. Their hair's on fire because they're scared to death. They know impeachment's not going to go anywhere, and they're afraid they're going to end up with an 80-year-old Bernie Sanders as the Democratic nominee in 2020, and Donald Trump is going to wipe the floor with him.
Yeah, you know, I was reading an Elizabeth Warren tweet yesterday that had popped up on Fox News there in the studio, and it was talking about how the fact that she's ruffled a lot of feathers with the way she talks about raising taxes on the rich. She says, you can tell when you ask them to chip in more, they get all nervous. That's how you know the system is working for them. And there's such an arrogance to the way she talks about that. as if all of this money that you're working hard, getting up at, what, 3 a.m. to come in and make money, and you know, every middle American who's investing time and energy in making ends meet to the point where, God willing, they have a little extra to spare at the end of the day, that all of these people need to really think about how they need to chip in. That means that Elizabeth Warren thinks that ultimately it's not about how much money you chip in. It's how much money she lets you keep. And I think that right. Donald Trump is going to be able to make that point so simply and so easily with a Bernie Sanders, or especially an Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren will get, she'll have some quips that she's got, you know, written out on note cards that she's going to want to try to land on Donald Trump. And that is just not going to play with Donald Trump, because he's too good at that type of stuff. And that's not what she does. And what she has to bring to the table is the idea that the prosperity that exists in America somehow belongs to the United States government first. And, you know, it's your paycheck. If she allows you to keep it, it's as backwards as can be. And I think Americans are woke to that, if you will.
Had Adam Michelle on yesterday from the Heritage Foundation. He's a PA, has a PhD in economics, and he was discussing the fact that what she and Bernie want to do is impossible to accomplish without raising taxes on the so-called middle class, which is a floating, there's a floating line there as to what designates somebody in the middle class. Are you middle class if you make more than $40,000 a year? Well, you may not think so, but you're actually in the top 50% of all wage earners in this country if you make more than $40,000 a year. Most people wouldn't think that's a large salary. I mean, it's just a moving target, Annie.
Yeah, for sure. The any time that the beginning of the conversation starts with who owns the money in this country, and you're talking to a socialist, you're going to be greatly disappointed in where you believe that your paycheck actually goes and where it belongs,
and where the money's going to come from for some of this stuff. So it's interesting to see that Bloomberg thinks he wants to jump in now, and this is going to make a difference. Hey, before we run out of time, just quickly. There were a couple big headlines on impeachment yesterday, and I thought that right off the top there, I don't know if you heard that or not, Greg Jarrett kind of nailed it all, that all of the people they're bringing forward as they build another transcript toward impeachment, these are all opinion witnesses, diplomats who have their own political agendas, who are willing to come forward and say, well, I thought, but none of them have proven anything. I think it's just all part of their effort to build an argument.
Yeah, and fool me once, shame on you. But we saw how this worked. We knew how bad it was to think about the president of the United States colluding with a foreign government to try to steal an election. And I think that a lot of people waited very patiently for the Mueller report to come out, who didn't want what they were saying to be true because they wanted to think that the person they voted for actually won the election. Lo and behold, we find out the whole time that not only was it not true what they were saying, there are a ton of questions surrounding the origin of that story, that it might have been purposely put together to try to make it look like, to almost frame Donald Trump to look like he did something that he didn't do. So while Adam Schiff and all the merry women and men that he's got working against this president to try to undermine him once again, I'm going to need to see some hardcore evidence, hardcore facts. And I think that the Democrats in this country have calloused so many American voters to, even if they were to find out that this was worst case scenario against Donald Trump, people aren't going to care. Not enough people are going to care because it's political. It's mean-hearted. And as I said yesterday on my show, the Democrats have in such plain sight, right in front of our eyes, in so many different possible ways, told us what they want to do to this president from right. The very beginning. It's in such plain sight. Sometimes it's hard for us to even notice and see. Just stop and listen to what the Democrats have been saying for so long, and you'll know exactly what they're doing.
That is a great point. Annie, we'll look forward to the Annie Fry Show this afternoon, as usual, noon to 3. Thank you.
Yep, happy Friday.
Yep, happy Friday. Great to have Annie on here and get her thoughts on this news of the day about Michael Bloomberg. He's coming for your guns. That's all he wants.
It was freedom, not socialism, that ended slavery, won 2 world wars, and has America today standing as a beacon of hope for all the world. You know, I believe that the moment that America becomes a socialist country is the moment that America ceases to be America.
Amen. Vice President Pence talking about this yesterday. Hey, folks, the results are right there in front of you for the world to see. The Dow and the S&P 500 ended at record highs yesterday because the president is trying to fix what's wrong with the foreign trade deals, including the ones with China, where we've been taken advantage of for years. Why in the world would America want to hire somebody who's going to step back and let all that go back to the way it was? I just fail to understand that, which is why I think the president wins that argument next fall. Little less than 12 months from now. Let me get to my guest. She's Jessica Ditto. She is the deputy assistant to the president, deputy director of the White House Communications. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. You know, more good economic news. The Dow continues to set records. We're just a good day away from 28,000 on the Dow.
100%. Yeah. Everything this president has been doing since he took office has been creating the unprecedented success that we're seeing in the economy. So we are not surprised to see how this economy is and market is responding to the president's agenda. And we're really excited and hopeful that Congress will pass USMCA to help shore up this economic success for decades to come.
Yeah. You know, I think back to what the president said one time, which is, why the hell would you want to go back to the way things were? If I'm paraphrasing him there, but it's a good point. You got Michael Bloomberg talking about getting in the race now. You got Bernie Sanders talking about ending fossil fuel use and somehow magically creating 20 million jobs. Some of these folks live in a la-la land.
Well, the reality is this president has created 6.7 million jobs since taking office. It is an incredible boom under the Trump administration as a result of pushing for historic tax cuts in year one, unprecedented dereg efforts to help get all of the government burdens off the back of our businesses and help create more jobs and opportunity, as well as these unfair trade deals that he's fixing around the world through Japan, EU, with Korea, and now this USMCA agreement that has been signed between the three countries for the last year. We just need Congress to step up and do its job. So yeah, we are very excited, and obviously great progress being made on China, which is obviously the stickier of all of the deals because of the long, unfair trade balance we've had with China since they entered the WTO.
Yeah, true. And, you know, I'm wondering about that because there's been so much give and take. And then, you know, this sort of because the mainstream media in this country is easily distracted. They're like a cat with a laser pointer. They're looking at the latest headline that's being dropped by Adam Schiff, and they're ignoring the fact that all the time, quietly, the administration's been working on this China trade deal. Just at the mention that we might get a deal, the market's going crazy. I think that's fantastic. Do you think we're close? Is there a feeling that they're close to getting a full agreement here with China?
So, yes, we are working towards the papering and the finalization of the details that the president and the vice premier announced a few weeks ago. So they're working at a very rapid speed for what is a very complex deal. But this would be phase one of multiple phased agreements to ensure that all of these details are put in writing. It's enforceable, that it addresses all of the structural issues we've had for the past two or three decades with the Chinese. So we are very close. Larry Kudlow addressed it yesterday and has been working closely with the president to help advise and work on these final details. But we are feeling good about it. And obviously, the Chinese have expressed their interest in getting this across the finish line and signed in the weeks to come.
Boy, my biggest concern about this is that China just wanted to delay till they could get one of these potentially one of the president's opponents in office who would lay down and give them whatever they wanted. But I'm glad that he's sticking to his guns and moving forward.
Well, the reality is the tariffs are working. His pressure and his negotiation style has helped ensure that they take this discussion very seriously. And so we know that the president's approach to this is what has made this possible, and it's working, and it's going to have tremendous benefit for our farmers and our ranchers and our producers and businesses across the country. So it's going to be a historic agreement, but one that we owe to the president for getting done.
So Jessica, correct me if I'm wrong, but I see that part of your career path had you working in the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. There's been a lot of talk about the election results down there the other day. It looks to me like the president did a great job moving the needle when he went there for that rally.
Yes, sir. I've been I'm a Kentucky native, and when the president won the election in 2016, he brought about historic change at the Kentucky House, became a Republican majority for the first time in 100 years, and the same thing happened again this Tuesday, where the president's support of these candidates who are working in his agenda have flipped two statewide races. Our first Republican attorney general in 70 years. So historic change happening under this president's watch. And it's all because of the failed policies of the year, 8 years preceding this administration. The war on coal was devastating to Kentucky's economy. And now we're seeing tremendous progress and relief as a result of the president's policies and the support that he's had from the leadership in Kentucky.
Yeah, fantastic. I attended the University of Kentucky, so I have to ask, Wildcats or Cardinals?
I bleed blue.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. How about that victory over Michigan State the other day, huh?
I'm so proud of the Cats.
Glad to hear it. Hey, before I let you go, I can't not mention this ongoing impeachment sham that they keep digging up here. I thought that Greg Jarrett of Fox News really kind of called this the way it is. Let me go to cut 19 here real quick, please.
All of the witnesses who will be called have already testified secretly. Right. They're all opinion witnesses offering their interpretations of a conversation they weren't privy to. They're all diplomats, and diplomats are notorious gossipers.
You know, Jessica, next week we're going to see, they're going to televise this clown show over in the House. And boy, I we're just going to see more of the same. And it's a shame the way this is being handled, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, the process is a complete sham. It is totally partisan and being done behind closed doors. What we saw from the transcripts that came out this week is that they completely undermine the impeachment sham. The bottom line is Sondland made clear that the president told him, quote, "I want no quid pro quo," quote. And so everything that we've seen to date shows that there's absolutely no there. The money flowed. The president did nothing wrong, but the Democrats are hell-bent on using this to attack this presidency, undermine the 2016 election, and influence the 2020 election. People are going to vote next year. They will make the decision next year. This is a complete waste of the American taxpayers' time. It's a tragedy, but it's also something that we're not going to let distract us, where the president, over the next several weeks, will be working to secure our USMCA agreement and to finalize phase one of China. And so we're seeing him continue to deliver tremendous wins for the American people while the Democrats are doing nothing.
Yeah, amen. Jessica Ditta, thank you for your time this morning, and go Big Blue.
Yes, go Cats.
All right.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, Jessica Ditta is the White House Deputy Director of Communications, and it's awesome to get her on here. So, good.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
Couldn't agree more, Claire. Claire Bear. You know what Claire Bear did last night? I can't find the audio because they haven't made it available yet.
What did she do?
She went to the University of Virginia Center for Politics. There's a professor up there named Larry Sabato, who I'm sure you've heard of. He's been all over network news for years as a political analyst. He's a political science professor. And they held a meeting with Joe Donnelly, a former senator, Heidi Heitkamp, and Claire McCaskill, the three of them. And the subject was how to fix the Democratic Party, I guess, was the subject of the discussion. But here's what Sabato tweeted out. This is actually the audacity of the left in this country. Former Senators Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Donnelly and Claire McCaskill all agree that the Kennedy resignation from the U.S. Supreme Court doomed their reelection campaigns. They suggest it was no accident and another resignation may be looming for 2020. So instead of like standing up and admitting that you got your butt whipped in an election because people disagreed with your brand of politics, which is exactly what happened, the reason they lost is because they insulted and voted against a fine man named Brett Kavanaugh. Not because Supreme Court Justice Kennedy decided that he was going to resign. You know, a lifetime appointment. Do they really think that Kennedy sat around and thought, let me see, how could I most stick it to the Democrats in America? I've got it. I'll announce my retirement. And in the middle of the fight to replace me, they're all going to make a huge political mistake. That's what they seem to be suggesting here. And that's just not the case at all. And now they're starting with the conspiracy theory here is like suggesting that Tulsi Gabbard is a Putin plant. That they're suggesting that not RGB, not Ruth Bader, or RBG, not Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They're suggesting that Clarence Thomas is going to announce his resignation so that there'll be an opening on the Supreme Court and more Democrats will lose their jobs next. It's just so far-fetched. It's like the Hillary Clinton apology tour all over again. I don't know what else to say about it. Hey, Claire, in case you're back in Missouri, here's why you lost your election, because you insulted this fine man.
We drank beer, my friends and I, the boys and girls. Yes, we drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
Thank you. I just wanted to point that out. I love my favorite soundbite.
We have such a hard time losing in today's society. People can't just take a loss for what it is. There's always got to be an excuse. Or a participation ribbon, or everybody gets a trophy. There's a conspiracy. Sometimes there are winners and losers. And sometimes it's just that cut and dry.
True. True.
That's as hard as to accept as that is, you still have to admit it.
Yeah.
Let me get to old Rick. He's been holding on here for a while. Rick, go ahead.
Oh, it's my wake-up call, huh?
I got about a minute. What's going on?
All right. Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to see if you knew about that big sign just out on Highway 19. I thought it was so funny I had to stop and get a picture of it. The sign said, "Save America. Vote Democrat."
It must really suck to be that dumb.
I'm just thinking of Senator Kennedy there.
Rick. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
And this morning earlier, I was on my little computer, and I noticed something that really got my attention.
What's that?
The name of the webpage was fool.com. And I thought it was something liberal maybe, but what it's about, it's a page where you can invest in dope. And a dope mark.
What?
Well, I figured, well, that's a good match, you know, fool.com.
Fool. Yeah, there you go. And now you're going to have everybody Googling that to see what you're talking about. All right, Rick, have a great weekend. Thanks for the call.
Well, if they want to be a fool,
they can go there. All right. You probably go there and type in fool.com, and it says Epstein did not kill himself.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably some sort of a bait and switch there, don't you think? That's pretty funny. Lots of good memes out there on that one, too.
So many good memes.
So many.
Oh, my goodness.
So many good memes.
It just gets better and better every day. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.